Well, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You ready for the word today?
Yes.
All right. You never know what pastor's going to do.
Branches.
All right. Amen. Amen. We're going to be reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, if you have a Bible. I encourage you to bring a Bible to church. I use electronic means as well as real Bible because I think there's something about it, and there actually some of the studies are coming out that a real book or a real Bible actually our minds tend to grab onto it a little longer and tend to process it a little better. And if we actually take notes, it's even that much greater. So although I appreciate the convenience of the Bible in our hand under many different translations, it's nice to have a real Bible. If you don't have one, we'd be happy to get you one and help you get one. All right, so 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Because we treasure the word of God, we're standing as our opening scripture is being read in preparation to receive from the word of God today. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks, and he called to her in a cup, called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Mm. And so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make a small cake from it first. Bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elisha. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Amen. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for utterance and for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to cause this word to come into our hearts that we may grow by it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, praise God. So, we have a story, a Bible story, for some that may have grown up in church. Perhaps you've heard this story. For others, maybe it's a brand new story. Regardless of your learning about this story, it is a miraculous story. Wow. But it is also a story about a mother. I mean, when we think of it, Elisha is the prophet. He is in the middle of a great famine. He's in a place, a hidden place, because he's running for his life. God comes to him when that place dries up, if you read in the beginning part of the chapter, where ravens were bringing him food and bread, and he was being fed supernaturally. But then that food source dried up, the brook dried up, there was no water. God speaks to him and tells him to go to enemy territory. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, because if you're not a student of the Bible, you don't realize that, wait a second, Zarephath, where he told the prophet to go, was not really Israel. It was kind of the area of the sea. It was north of Israel, kind of where modern-day Lebanon is. And that's where the prophet was told to go. And it was quite a long distance. In the middle of famine, he has to journey and run for his life. But God tells him something very, very specific. Last week, we talked about how to help others who are going through difficult situations. And this kind of goes right hand in hand with that sermon from last week. Even though we're not continuing on how to help somebody, we're going to see how somebody who is very well connected with God helps this mother. And I love the fact that the mother that is mentioned here, she's only known as the widow. The widow of Zarephath. She's a single mom. She's struggling to make ends meet. And now an entire famine occurs. And she's there. And I mean, she's thinking, okay, I'm just going to gather some sticks. And so I brought some sticks from my house. So, not that they're special sticks because they're from my house. They're just from my house. So, these sticks, you know, I think about this lady. She is outside of the city gate, and she's desperate. She's going through some difficult times. She's thinking, I got to gather some sticks, light a fire, and I have just enough to make it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've been there where you feel like, I have just enough to make it. I don't have any more. I'm spent. I'm spent. And maybe you felt like that emotionally. The one thing that is amazing about mothers is they have the ability to find things and do things with nothing. One of my favorite lines that my wife will say and has said since we first got married, she will say, but what can we do? I think that is in just bred into mothers especially, but into, thank God for females. What can we do? What can we do with what we have?
Amen.
And so the widow of Zarephath is gathering sticks, but one of the things I wanted you to notice about God speaking to the prophet is that, this is a side note, it's not a main point of this message, is that how specific did God speak to the prophet? Very specific, right? Told him to go to a specific city and told him, you're going to find somebody very, very specific. You're finding a widow. I've commanded her to feed you. Now, from the looks of this story, it doesn't look like she's really realizing that God commanded her to feed the prophet. But it's pretty evident as we continue on in the story that that's exactly what happened. You know, verse 9 says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. In other words, go and live in enemy territory. Oh, that's interesting. I'm already running for my life because the king wants me. The queen really wants me to die. And so I'm running to the enemy territory. But God says, go there and dwell there, for I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. A widow to provide for you. This makes no sense to the natural mind, does it?
No.
But see, to the spiritual, God sometimes does things that blow logic away. And when he's speaking to the prophet, he basically has a very specific thing in mind. He said, and I love this. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Yeah. Folks, there's a lesson in that. God speaks to you something pretty specific to do. There was no pushback. There was no reasoning. There was no logic. Right? The human brain did not get involved and say, hey, do you really want to go there? Hey, Jezebel is already after you. Ahab's already after you. Are you sure you want to do that? See, that's how our mind always talks us out of the spiritual. Are you sure you want to do that? You really want to go to church and volunteer? Really? Do you know what? Churches are full of hypocrites. Don't you know that? That's what your mind will tell you. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get... Come on. Am I talking to the right people today? That's what our minds say. That's what our minds say. And so, I love it because what did he do? He just got up and he went. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, who did he find? We don't know her name. But she's pretty amazing. We're going to find out how amazing she was. She says, so he comes to her at the gate of the city, just as he said. He calls to her and he says, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he calls to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin. Think about a handful of flour in a bin. Enough to make a cake. Probably smaller than this. This is typical Middle Eastern bread, which probably she would have made. She had enough to make one. She had oil. She had oil. Just enough. Just enough to make one cake. She said, I'm preparing a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elisha said to her, do not fear. Remember we said last week that one of the big things that you can say to somebody who's going through a difficult time is God is with you. What does that do? It brings a lift to somebody. God is with you in the second one, and we see this throughout Scripture. Whenever God shows up on the scene, fear not. Fear not. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. How the audacity of this man of God, doesn't he know that this woman is starving? But what was he doing? He was obeying God, wasn't he? And see, sometimes obeying God on the outside in our human thinking can seem like somebody's being a little bit brazen, maybe a little bold, maybe a little arrogant, maybe a little bit too full of themselves, when actually it is God speaking through them, telling them to do something that actually becomes a blessing to them. Notice what happens. It says, do not fear. Do as you've said, but make me a cake first. Bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Wait, Elijah, didn't you hear me? I have enough to make one small cake. Didn't you hear me? Apparently, he didn't. He knows something. He has a relationship with God to the point that he hears so clearly, and he knows this is the one. He knows this is the woman that God told to feed me. So I'm going to ask. So he opens his mouth and asks. And I love it. Basically, me first. I thought that was kind of, God, really? Put me first. Then go ahead and make one for yourself. Well, just in case she started to doubt and give any pushback, notice what the prophet says. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. This is supernatural. Supernatural increase. And it was a result of her just stepping out. So she had enough faith. God had dealt with her enough that apparently this one little phrase must have helped get her over to the other side. And it says, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Not only, and you'll get the context in a little bit, not only was Elijah fed by her, he stayed in her house. He moved in. The nerve of this guy. But he was directed by Almighty God. And God was already dealing with her. And she had a son. And notice what, she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her whole household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, because according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So I want you to notice a couple of things in the passage. I already pointed it out. God spoke something very specific to the man of God to help the woman who was in need. He acted in obedience, even when it didn't make sense. Yes. And notice that he had bold action. It was not half-hearted action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nor was it slow action. When he sees her, he recognizes this is the woman. He actually doesn't say, hey, do you think you could spare a little? No. Why, he knows there's something in this. He knows his God who just fed him for days on end with the ravens bringing him bread and meat every single day, both morning and night. He knows he's been well fed by Almighty God. And when God told him to go to Zarephath, he specifically obeyed. It was not half-hearted action. It was faith in action. And I want you to know something, that God is faithful to his promise. Whatever promise he's made to you, we've talked about it in the last couple weeks. In 1 Corinthians, it says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. All of them. God's servant had a relationship with God, and his obedience to God's voice resulted in a mother getting help, and the mother herself was a woman of faith because she didn't push back. She didn't say, I only have enough for me and my son. Go find your own. She didn't have an attitude. She didn't cop an attitude. She didn't send him away and say, get out of here, you beggar. Who do you think you are? She's never met him before. But clearly, she had been reaching out to our Heavenly Father. God knows the prayers that you've prayed and you didn't think he was listening. God knows the prayers you prayed that you felt like, as the proverb goes, they hit the ceiling and bounced right back to me. God knows those prayers. And he sends people into your life with answers. And sometimes the answers don't look very conventional. Don't try to figure it out all up here. If we as believers would get better at listening down here, God would speak to us and tell us specific things. He would tell us things like the prophet that Ananias in Acts told him to go and find Paul. Go to the street called Straight. That was a specific address. Go to the specific address, and you're going to find a man there. He's praying. God wants to talk to believers that specifically, and religion will rob you of believing that. You'll think, well, you know, we'll never know how God's going to do it. God gives us answers in his word. He gives us ways that he does things. He gives us patterns that we can follow from the scripture. He gives us confirmation that he wants to talk to us that way. so that we can be like Jesus. I'm not saying that we're equal to him, so don't say I said that, because I'm not saying that. We will never be, and you will never hear me say that. What I am saying is God is calling us to a higher level, yes, to become more like him. To become more like him. Yes. Well, how did he operate? I've been ministering on this. I started Wednesday night. How did God operate? Well, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. He went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. God wants to talk to us in that clear voice, in that way, in that way that you are communing with him and you hear him, not just at church, not just when your favorite worship song is playing, but when you are doing your job. When you are in the middle of a crowded retail establishment and God can speak to you and say, open your mouth and speak to that person, even this person, even the person that you don't like their lifestyle or their political beliefs. God calls us to be beyond all of that. He calls us to be his representatives. And when he says speak, you speak. And when we can be that obedient, yes, to his voice, yes, there is a blessing, there is a breakthrough. And it doesn't happen by just casually snacking on the word of God once a week or every other week. It happens through communing with our Heavenly Father on a regular basis, where you are talking to him about everything. Why do you think the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing? What was he talking about? What is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. Always having the conversation with God, going half all the time. All the time. So that God directs your steps, even when you don't think it makes sense. He will help you in situations your natural mind doesn't know the answers. Your natural mind may not know what's next, but down in your spirit, as long as you are connected with your Heavenly Father, you'll know what's next. You'll be like, I just trust him. I'm just going to keep taking one step at a time until he says something else. One step at a time until he says something else. One step at a time until he says something else. This is what I will do. And it's not that God is trying to play hide and seek with you. The word of God tells us in John, Jesus himself uttered these words and he said, my sheep hear my voice. They don't follow the voice of another. They hear my voice. We need to get better at hearing. And the only way that happens is through connection to your Heavenly Father. Don't let guilt, don't let condemnation, don't let religion, don't let bad teaching keep you away from a connection with your Heavenly Father. God loves you way too much. You are created for a purpose, to glorify God. And when we all come up to those levels, life around us changes. Life around us changes. Can you see that in your life? Have you seen that in your life? If you're walking with God, have you seen that? Wave your hand at me. You've seen that in your life. That as you've connected with your Heavenly Father. And see, I believe this church is doing that. I believe this church is going up higher. I believe that we, as God's people, are going up higher. But how are we going to maintain that? We're going to run into the widows of Zarephath. We're going to run in to the man at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 4. Gold and silver have I none, but what I do have, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. If we're believing God for miracles, it is not enough just to casually say, well, if he wants to, God wants a lot of things in life.
Jesus,
hallelujah. He has a high standard for us to live. But he does not force us to live that. He gives us choices. Every day you have a choice. Will you follow his voice, your voice, or the voice of the enemy every single day? His voice, your voice, or the voice of the enemy? And that's just that simple. It's that simple. We're going to keep talking about how to hear God clearer in the next couple of weeks. And I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. I really feel like it's vital for this day and age. We need to know that we're in the right place at the right time. We're not just stumbling through the dark. We're not just, you know, well, it just seemed like the only open door that was there. But what if God said no? What if he said no? What if, well, that just seemed like it was the best. What if he was saying no? What if we inquired of the Lord at every little thing that we do? I'm not talking about being weird. Okay, but I'm talking about big decisions in life. What if we inquired of the Lord? Do we need to take that job? Do we need to go XYZ? Do we need to move? Do you hear me? It's those big decisions that we say, hey, Lord, if you're connected with him on the small ones, the big ones will be easy.
That's good.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the example of the widow of Zarephath. Lord, the example of her faith, trusting what the prophet had said. Lord, it's clear that she had some kind of relationship with you that she would do that. And Father, I pray right now that if it be anybody in this house that does not have a relationship with you, God, that you would open their heart and let them know how much you love them. Bring the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and your love to them right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now in this house, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about church membership. It's not about confirmation. It's not about memorized scripture. It's about, do you know Jesus? Have you met him? The Bible calls it being born again. Jesus himself said, if a man is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He said we needed to be born again. And so if that's you and you've never prayed a very simple prayer of asking Jesus into your life, believing that he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins, I want to lead you in that prayer. Is there anybody today that would say, that's me, I need to pray that prayer. I need a relationship with God that transforms my life and my family. Is there anybody at all that would say, that's me, pray for me? I'm just going to wait for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you've been away from God. You've had that kind of relationship with God, but you've kind of really gotten off track. You're just doing things in your own head. And God's saying, I want to direct your path. I want more control of your life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want God to control more of my life. If that's you, anybody at all, you're recommitting your life to him. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody at all? Thank you. Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer and let's mean it with all of our heart. Everybody's going to pray it, but if you're there and you wanted to raise your hand because you've been away from God, or maybe you should have raised your hand in the first place, but you were just timid. It's okay. God can make you bold. When you get to know him, he'll make you bold. So let's go ahead and pray this simple prayer. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness. I walk free because of what Jesus has done for me. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer as an act of rededication, or it was your first time of praying a prayer similar to that, I want to know, not to be nosy, but to help you in your journey. If you're watching online, and you prayed that prayer as an act of rededication or knowing God, I want to know about it. Message us. If you're here in this place, let me know. Let somebody know before you leave this house today on this Mother's Day. We bless all of the mothers who are watching, all of the mothers that are here, the mothers of faith, those that have mothered us spiritually and physically. We bless them today in the name of Jesus. And let's stand right now and let's speak over our lives what the scripture says in Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. And let's say this with a lot of gusto today. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall deliver your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Praise God. Sometimes my brain just gets ahead of me. Let's just thank God, and you are dismissed. We'll see you next time.